Now, as gunshots echo across the wind-swept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from gun, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you this transcribed adventure of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Say, fellas and girls, Christmas goodies come only once a year. But the goodies you can enjoy every morning are those king-size grains of sun-ripened rice or wheat shot from guns. Yes, I mean delicious Quaker Puffed rice and Quaker Puffed wheat, topped with lots of milk or thick, rich cream and chilled fruit or sliced bananas. Mmm, a treat for your taste every time. Be sure to have a heaping bowl full of delicious Quaker Puffed wheat or Quaker Puffed rice tomorrow morning. Sergeant Preston and his great dog Yukon King were on their regular patrol when they stopped for the night in a way cabin beside the trail. It was warm and snug inside the cabin. Outside, the night was calm and still. The dogs of the team were curled up and nearly buried by the huge flakes of snow that fell slowly and softly. It was the night of December 23rd.
Tomorrow night, King, will be Christmas Eve. There'll probably be a Christmas tree at headquarters. The fellows who are lucky enough to be in Dawson will be busy tomorrow setting up the tree, trimming it, and inviting the youngsters in Dawson to come and sing Christmas carols. Everybody becomes a youngster on Christmas Eve. You understand what I'm talking about, King? Why are you looking toward the door, boy? What are you trying to tell me? Dogs outside are stirring. All right, King, I'll take a look.
Quiet! Hello!
King, that looks like Constable Baker coming along the trail. He's alone.
That you, Baker?
That's right.
Steady there, boys. You know Constable Baker.
Glad I caught up to you, Preston. Good thing you followed your usual route.
Come inside.
Thanks. I've been traveling fast.
Give me your parka. I'll dry it out with the fire. Hungry?
Starved.
I'll warm up some food.
Hello there, King. How are you, fella?
You said you were glad you caught up with me.
Yes. The inspector sent me to bring you back to Dawson.
Well, I just left Dawson yesterday morning.
I know it.
I have a 6-week patrol to cover.
Constable Brent's been assigned to cover it for you.
Why?
Because the inspector wants you in headquarters at the earliest possible moment.
Something wrong?
You'll have to ask the inspector.
I don't understand.
Oh, it's good to sit down.
Is it an order that I return?
The inspector told me to bring you in. I consider that an order.
Am I to consider myself under arrest?
There was nothing said about arresting you.
Oh, I'm grateful for that. Baker, am I supposed to have broken some regulation?
Preston, I'm sorry, but I can't tell you a thing.
All right. Do you want to start early in the morning or now?
Well, we'd better start tonight. The way it's snowing, the trail will be mighty heavy.
Very well. It's a long trip, and if you've had no rest...
We'll take turns driving the team and dozing on the sled.
Watch your food so it doesn't burn. I'll hitch the team. Come along, King.
The dogs, after their evening meal, were settled for the night and were not enthusiastic about being put back into harness. But they obeyed King and moved to their places on the tug line. A little later, Constable Baker stepped aboard the sled. Preston shouted,
"On King! On your husky!"
After traveling a considerable distance through the night, Sergeant Preston called a halt. While the dogs rested, he lighted a small alcohol stove and filled a kettle with clean, fresh snow.
We'll have boiling water in a few minutes, then for a cup of tea.
That'll hit the spot. When we start out again, Sergeant, I'll drive the team while you take a nap on the sled.
All right, Baker. Wish I knew why the inspector sent for me.
Are you worried?
Well, I know of only three times when a man's been recalled from patrol. All three of those men were questioned about infractions of regulations. Two were reprimanded. The third was dismissed from the service. Christmas Eve would be a fine time to get tossed out or demoted.
Well, I wish I could relieve your mind. Does the name Joe Tarbuck mean anything to you?
Joe Tarbuck? Yes, I know him. Why?
He's in Dawson.
Huh?
I heard that you and Tarbuck were once involved in some kind of battle.
That's true. We weren't fighting each other. We were on the same side, fighting thieves.
Is that how it was?
Yes. Joe's a trapper. I can't imagine why he's in Dawson this time of year. He always spends the winter at his cabin in the Elbow River country.
The water's boiling.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about you and Joe Tarbuck and the fight.
It was in December, several years ago. I was on patrol, had a couple of letters for Joe. His cabin was about 5 miles off my route, so I left my sled and all the dogs except King in the settlement. King and I went through a wood to reach Joe's cabin. Cabin was in a valley about 100 yards beyond the woods. King was uneasy as we crossed that stretch of open country. I thought King was whining because he smelled the game that Joe'd taken in his traps. I didn't know anything was wrong, but I was about 10 yards from the cabin, and I heard Joe shout,
"Pull back! Get back to that wood!"
Joe, that you?
Yes. Go back or you'll die with me.
I have some mail for you.
Never mind it. Turn back, I tell you.
I want to see you. I'm coming in. Be ready for anything, King. Hear me, Tarbuck? I said I'm coming in. Come on, King.
You shouldn't have come here, Sergeant.
Quiet, King.
King, is that your dog's name?
Yes. Tell me what's the matter.
Your name must be Preston.
That's right.
I heard your dog. I looked out the window at the side and saw you coming. I wish you'd turn back.
Why? What's the matter with you?
I'm a doomed man. And now, Sergeant, you're doomed, too.
Doomed? Well, what do you mean?
The crooks will never let us leave here.
What crooks?
Al Bristow and his pals.
Al Bristow? He's wanted for murder.
Well, he's within shouting distance right now. But you can't get him.
Where is he?
He and his three pals are on the ridge that overlooks the front of his cabin. They're behind big boulders.
I didn't see any tracks in the valley.
I reckon they came from the other side of the ridge.
Oh.
When I stepped outside this morning to look at my trap lines, a couple of bullets went past me and hit the cabin. Then Bristow shouted to me. He said those shots were a warning. He said he didn't want to hurt me, but he intended to get my furs so as he could raise cash to get out of the Yukon.
He knows he'll hang if he's captured.
He said if I'd stand with my hands up, he and his pals would come down the hill, take my furs, and clear out.
No, they'd kill you before they left.
That's what I figured. So I jumped back into the cabin and shut the door. I've been watching that hill ever since.
I have something to say to Al Bristow.
Be careful, Sergeant. You're an easy target in the open doorway.
Bristow! You still there? Steady, King. Hold it, boy. Quiet.
That'll tell you we're still here.
The law wants you.
We know where we stand.
You see, Baker, those crooks knew they had us trapped. They could watch through narrow gaps between the boulders on the ridge and shoot us easily if we tried to leave the cabin. Al Bristow said he'd take the furs and leave us alive if we'd surrender, but I knew he'd never keep his word.
Did the crooks plan to starve you out?
I don't know what they planned to do.
What did you do?
Wrote a note, fastened it to King's collar.
King was in the cabin with you and Tarp.
That's right. When it got dark, I opened the window in the side of the cabin, held King by the collar, pointed in the direction of the settlement. I called off the names of the sled dogs, and King understood. He knew I wanted him to join his teammates.
Mm.
I hope the man with whom I'd left the dogs would see the note fastened to King's collar and send help.
Didn't King have to cross 100 yards or so of open country before he reached the woods?
Yes.
Even on a dark night, he could be seen against the snow. I should think you'd have been afraid the crooks on the ridge would shoot King.
Well, I was sure they'd fire at him, but as for hitting him, well, that was a calculated risk. He went through the window and traveled like a streak of lightning.
I've seen him run. He's fast.
He made a difficult target. He was halfway to the woods before the outlaws saw what was happening and fired their first shot. Joe was watching the ridge. He fired at the gun blazes. His bullets may have rattled the crooks. At any rate, King reached the shelter of the woods without being hit.
Obviously, King brought help, or you and Tarbuck wouldn't be alive.
We both owe our lives to King.
Tarbuck could hardly have been filing a complaint about you.
Mm.
Do you think the dogs are rested?
Yes, they're ready to go. Light them up, King.
A few minutes later, Constable Baker shouted,
"Push, King! Push, you husky! Push!"
The sled moved on toward Dawson, with Sergeant Preston riding. Another halt was made at daybreak. The cooking gear was unpacked, and the two men began to prepare breakfast. The snow had stopped falling, and the day was crisp and crystal clear. The sergeant left the campfire and moved to the side of the great dog, King.
King boy, I don't know why we're going back, but I don't like it. The friends along the trail we hope to see on Christmas are going to be disappointed. Furthermore, big fella, I'm worried. You can think of only one reason why the inspector would recall us. I don't know of anything we've done wrong, but there must be something. Looks like an unhappy Christmas for us, King.
The water's boiling.
Make the tea. I'll cook the flapjacks.
By the way, do you remember a girl named Sarah Leonard?
Sarah Leonard? Yeah, that's right.
She's in Dawson.
She is?
Mm-hmm. She asked about you. She was disappointed when she learned you'd left on patrol.
She's a fine girl. Met her in Dawson 2 years ago, and she arrived from the States. She came on the Yukon Queen. King and I were at the dock watching the passengers leave the ship. An attractive girl came down the gangplank. She looked a little confused and uncertain. Then she saw my uniform. She came up to me and introduced herself.
Officer, my name is Sarah Leonard. I just arrived here on the Yukon Queen.
Well, how do you do, Miss Leonard? My name's Preston.
Is it Captain Preston?
No, I'm a sergeant. Welcome to the Yukon.
Thank you.
This is my dog, Yukon King.
Hello, King. You're a fine fellow.
May we be of service?
Perhaps you can tell me how to reach Moose Canyon.
That's desolate country, particularly for a girl like you.
I'm going there to join my uncle. Perhaps you know him. His name is John Leonard.
I don't know him, but I've heard of him. He's been panning gold.
Yes, he's my father's brother. When my parents died, he invited me to come and live with him.
Did he know you'd arrive on this boat?
Oh, yes. He said he wouldn't try to meet me. He's an old man, you see.
Oh.
He sent me money and suggested that I hire someone to take me to his place by horse or dog sled, depending on travel conditions.
Can you ride a horse?
Oh, yes. Do you know where I can rent one? And do you think I'll need a guide?
Miss Leonard, do you know your uncle?
Yes and no. I've had letters from him ever since I was a little girl, but I've never seen him.
I'm starting on my patrol tomorrow morning. Moose Canyon's just a few miles off my route. I'll take you there.
Oh, thank you.
I'll make arrangements for your horse. We'll rent one at the livery stable. I didn't know anything about John Leonard. I thought by going to his cabin, I'd find out what kind of a man he was. Sarah spent that night at the Dawson Hotel. I met her early the next morning. She rode a horse I'd rented, and I rode my own horse, Blackie. King, of course, went with her. It was late afternoon as we approached Leonard's home. I noticed that Leonard's place was solidly built with a good chimney, stood at the edge of a ravine. As we drew closer, the door swung open and a white-haired man waved his hand. He called,
"Hi there!
Oh, Lucky, what a ho!
Ho, ho there!
Hello! You John Leonard?"
"That's right."
"Then you're my Uncle John."
"Quiet, King. See, Lucky."
"Sure. Welcome to your new home. Let me help you off that horse."
"Thank you."
"Easy, King. What's the matter with you?"
"Uncle John, this is Sergeant Preston."
"I'm glad to know you, Sergeant."
"Hello, Lennon."
"That dog of yours doesn't seem to like me."
"Quiet, King. Quiet. Take it easy now."
I never did get along with animals. Where's all your luggage, Sarah?
Oh, it's still in Dawson. I've made arrangements to have it sent here.
Come on inside. You too, Sergeant. Where'd you get that horse, Sarah?
From the livery stable.
I'll take him back with me. King, stay out here and keep an eye on the horses, boy.
Sit down. Make yourselves at home. But be careful you don't touch the walls. I've just painted them, and the paint's still fresh.
Oh?
Your cabin looks very nice, Uncle John.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Sarah. There's a room over there for you. You fix it any way you like. I'll stir up the fire and start some food to cook it.
I stayed in the cabin for about an hour, and once or twice King scratched on the door and whined uneasily. Then I said goodbye, mounted my horse, gathered up the reins of the rented horse. After leaving the cabin, we traveled a short distance to a wood. Then King left the trail and signified he wanted me to follow.
Where did he go?
Straight to the edge of the ravine. Then turned and headed back toward Leonard's cabin. When we were close to the cabin, but still screened by trees, King stopped and looked into the ravine. I dismounted and looked down. The bottom of the 30-foot drop, I saw the body of a man.
Let me guess, Sergeant Preston. Was that man John Leonard?
Yes.
I heard about that case.
He was alive, but unconscious. His skull was fractured.
Oh, yes. So I remember the case. You knew as soon as you saw Leonard that the man in the cabin was an imposter.
Yes, that was a simple deduction, because the man I found unconscious had fresh paint on his clothes. The same paint he'd used on the walls of his cabin.
Who was the man in the cabin?
A crook named Logan.
Why did he go there?
Planned to steal John's gold. Talked to John, hoping to learn where the gold was hidden. Instead, he learned that Sarah was expected momentarily.
I see.
He slugged John, pushed him into the ravine. He was looking for the gold when we arrived, so he posed as Leonard.
The girl would probably have been killed if you hadn't returned to the cabin when you did.
I'm sure she owes her life to King.
And to you. And so does John Leonard. He'd have died if you hadn't found him and given medical attention. How much of a stretch did Logan get?
10 years for attempted murder.
You put a lot of crooks in jail, Preston.
With King's help.
And you've made a lot of friends.
I hope I've made a few.
Well, let's get on our way. We should reach Dawson tonight.
We'll make it. Line him up, King. Line him, boy. All right. On King! On, you husky!
Throughout the day, the Mounties took turns driving the team. The dogs were strong and seemed to know that they were heading home. The sled flashed across the clean snow and finally into the town of Dawson. Darkness just gathered, and in the windows of many houses, Christmas candles could be seen. Sergeant Preston brought the team to a halt in front of headquarters.
Walking!
There's a light in the inspector's office, Sergeant Preston. He's probably waiting for you.
Yes, probably. I'll go right in. You take the dogs around the back?
Sure thing.
Go with them, King.
Come on, King. Hush! Hush, hush!
As Sergeant Preston closed the door, the inspector looked up from his desk. His face was expressionless.
Sergeant Preston reporting by order, sir.
Sergeant, during the past few days, there's been a lot of talk about you.
There has?
Yes.
Is that why I was brought back from patrol, sir?
A lot of things have been happening during the past 24 hours. Things that directly concern you.
Oh.
All the evidence is in the drill hall. Come with me.
Yes, sir.
The inspector took Preston by the arm and walked through a short corridor that connected the office to a large room that was used as a drill hall and gymnasium. When he opened the door...
Dr. Preston, Merry Christmas!
The room was filled with Preston's friends and buddies, all shouting joyous greetings. There was a Christmas tree at one end of the big room, and there was a long table gaily decorated with evergreen, holly, mistletoe, and ribbons, and loaded with good things to eat. In a moment, Preston was surrounded by the people he had helped.
Merry Christmas, Sergeant.
Merry Christmas.
Very Merry Christmas, Sergeant.
Thank you, Warren.
Merry Christmas, Sergeant.
Merci,
Merry Christmas, Sergeant.
Men and women from Dawson and other towns, miners from the gold fields, and trappers from faraway cabins in the wilderness.
Well, Inspector, these people, they're all my friends.
You begin to get the idea, Sergeant? Your friends have been working for weeks to prepare this surprise for you.
Hello, Sergeant Preston. Merry Christmas.
Joe Tarbuck. Well, Merry Christmas, Joe.
Merry Christmas, Sergeant.
Sarah Leonard and her Uncle John.
Merry Christmas, Sergeant.
Merry Christmas.
And her Sergeant. Look at the other end of the room. You'll see another surprise.
Another? Why, a band?
Red-coated Mounties were grouped with their gleaming musical instruments in readiness. The leader tapped his baton.
They've written a song for you, Sergeant.
You ready, men?
For me?
Let's give Preston our Christmas greeting. One, two...
During the applause, the inspector guided Sergeant Preston to a seat at the head of the big table with its load of candies, cakes, and sandwiches. Then picked up a spoon and tapped for attention.
Quiet, please. Quiet. Now, sit down, everyone. I know you're all hungry, particularly Sergeant Preston, who traveled a long way to be here with...
Just a moment, Inspector. I can't eat until I fed my dog. You folks start eating, but excuse me for a few minutes. King and the other dogs are right out there behind the building. I'll go and see them.
Sergeant, they've been fed. Those fellows have had an extra special Christmas meal that the cook prepared for them.
Oh.
Hear that, Sergeant Preston?
Why, yes, that's my team. I'll open the door.
I do believe they're singing.
That's King's voice.
He's leading them.
The Christmas Carol of Yukon King.
Bring King in here, Sergeant. This is his party, too. Call him in.
Here, King. Come on, boy.
Merry Christmas, King.
Hi there, King.
Hello, King.
All right, King. Take it easy, boy. Easy now.
How about a speech, from King.
Oh, how about a speech from Sergeant Preston?
That's what we want. A speech.
They're calling for you, Sergeant.
All right, sir. Friends, I'm the happiest man in the world tonight. Just to know that I have you as friends. I'm proud that you consider me worthy of your friendship. To me, friendship is like the spirit of Christmas. It reaches out to touch men, no matter where they are. On other Christmas Eves, King and I have been alone in wilderness camps, but even there we felt the warmth of Christmas because we knew all of our friends were thinking of us. This party is something I'll never forget. Your friendship's a priceless gift. In return, I give my word I'll continue to try to uphold the traditions of the Northwest Mounted Police, so that you'll never have reason to regret your faith in me. To all of you, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Well, Sergeant, feel better than you did a little while ago? I just had to keep the secret. Everybody worked so hard on it. But it was tough when I saw your face.
I admit, sir, I was greatly concerned. I couldn't imagine why you sent for me, but now I'm glad you did. Merry Christmas, Inspector.
A Merry Christmas to you, lad. And to use your own favorite expression, this case is closed.
Well, sir, fellas and girls, today is the day you looked forward to for so long. Yes, and right here is someone who wants to say something to each and every one of you. Here is Sergeant Preston himself. And naturally, I don't have to tell you that King is here, too, right beside you.
Fellas and girls, King and I don't want to say this. We hope that you and all of your family and friends are having the most wonderful Christmas ever. How about it, King? That's King's way of saying for the both of us, Merry Christmas.
And Sergeant Preston, that goes for me and for all of us here. And for the Quaker Oats Company, makers of Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. Yes, from all of us, a Merry Christmas to one and all. In our next adventure, Sergeant Preston stopped at Mike O'Brien's cabin on his way to Beaver City. Here he found himself in a death trap, surrounded by killers who were after Mike's gold. And the sergeant soon learned that the gang was led by the worst outlaw in the Yukon. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, and directed by Fred Flowerday. Today's transcribed adventure was written by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.